This podcast is part of the Game and Entertainment Network. Visit tgenetwork.net to find the latest episodes from all our shows.
Welcome to the Pixels and Dice Podcast, a show by gamers, for gamers. We cover everything from Mario to Munchkin, role-playing to retro games, and everything in between. Now, without further ado, let's get on with the show.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Beolus.
And today, I thought we'd talk about music as it relates to gaming.
Sounds fantastic.
Now, really, you know, most people will think, you know, okay, we're going to talk about video games. But really, this is about all types of gaming. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, in my opinion, music is very important when it comes to gaming.
Mm-hmm.
To help you set the mood, get in the right mindset, that sort of thing.
Well, also for like battle music. If you hear that tension, the music comes up in like a horror game, you get that strained music, you know there's something dangerous nearby.
Sure.
Helps lead your emotions.
Right. Now, I will say this. When it comes to video games, I pretty much turn the music off, especially in MMORPGs.
I don't. I mean, I love the music for Guild Wars 2.
It's
Jeremy Soul.
Oh, yeah.
He's awesome.
It's not that I dislike the music. In fact, I have the almost all of the World of Warcraft soundtracks, things like that. I have the Lord of the Rings Online soundtrack, things like that. But mm-hmm. And I'll listen to them. But when I'm actually gaming, I'm usually recording videos, and I don't want that background music going on when I'm recording a show.
Yeah.
I could have it, but I don't know. I think it's better without. Also, that way I don't have to risk a copyright takedown notice if, for some reason, let's say, the composer of this piece gets into a conflict with the game company and decides to put out a DMCA notice on anybody playing that music.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't usually play to video... you know, listen to video game music that much, but I will listen to other music if I can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put on my iPod and listen to some Metallica.
Well, I do that for a lot of games where the music is only like so-so, or it doesn't really add anything to the game. But for like MMOs, I prefer just to listen to the music that's already there.
Yeah.
Although, Guild Wars has the feature that you can upload music to play, you know, for like your battle music or for your exploring music or whatever. You can have different songs come on and play during those periods.
You know, you told me about that, and I tried that once and I never got it to work right.
I don't bother with it, but I know it's available. And the people who've got it working, they love it.
I mean, it sounds like a cool feature. That's actually kind of like, I don't know if you remember years ago, back when you used to buy actual video games on an actual disc for the PC. Mm-hmm. There used to be certain games would have music on them like a CD.
Mm-hmm.
And you could put the game on your hard drive and then put in the CD of your choice, and it would play the music from your CD in place of the music for the game.
Yeah.
That used to be a huge amount of fun. I mean, I'm trying to think of the names of some games that did that. And we're talking like late 90s, early 2000s. So we're talking 20 years ago. But I'm pretty sure Postal was a game like that. I used to love the hell out of that. Put a Slayer CD in. while you're going out running around just killing people at random. It was fitting.
Yeah, well. I know that there's one of the music features that Guild Wars has is if you've got one of their instruments, like the harp or the guitar or the drums. I'm not sure what technology they're using, but a lot of the people who are sitting in town playing music, they're playing, I mean, a wide variety of music. One lady was playing country music on the harp. So there has to be some kind of a program involved where you can play the music through their software, and it comes out as harp notes instead.
Yeah,
either that or she's hella talented.
Wait, what? They have, you can play in-game instruments in Guild Wars 2?
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea this was a thing.
Oh, yeah. They've got tons of them. They've got flutes and the bass guitar was really popular. But, see, yeah, there's all kinds of instruments you can play.
You see, this is a thing in Lord of the Rings Online and has been since the beginning. And they use ABC files, which is probably what Guild Wars 2 uses because it's the standard. And, yeah, I used to download hundreds of ABC files. And then I'd stand around in Bree, break out my lyre, and strum away and play Nine Inch Nails.
Well, what people are doing now is, if you're sitting at the beach waiting for Tequaddle, you'll find that usually one or two people are playing an instrument. Or at the meeting area for Triple Trouble, there's almost always somebody there with an instrument.
Wow.
Entertaining the group.
That is so cool. I had no idea that they had put that into the game.
Well, one of the other things I think is cool about these big events when guilds are involved, because not only will there be banners for buffing and food for buffs, people will put down like the aviator box or the bobblehead box so that it enhances, is I guess the best way to put it, your experience. Because the bobblehead box, it literally turns everything you see into a bobblehead. So if you're doing Tequaddle, all the players around you have a normal-sized body and an oversized head that kind of bobbles back and forth, and the monsters do too.
Okay.
It's awesome. You get tired of it after like the first or second time, but every once in a while, it's still fun to use the box, and it lasts for like half an hour, or you can turn it off, of course.
That's
but then they have the aviator box, which it turns your point of view from the standard view to something out of a an old newsreel, you know, from the like the 30s and 50s, the old war films. So it's kind of got this orangish, you know, look to it. And one of the other things is that your character is affected by it too. You automatically stick your arms out to the side. You've got this aviator, you know, the leather pilot helmet, the leather hat with the goggles.
Mm-hmm.
And you're running around going, meow. Airplane noises as you're running.
That's really kind of fucked up.
That's awesome. It is.
Anyway, aside from video games, let's talk about role-playing, for example.
Sure.
What sort of music do you think works best for like a role-playing session?
Well, for a pen and paper type game, you used to play like the Conan soundtrack and Lady Hawk, I think, was the other one.
Yeah, I used to bounce between those generally.
Those worked really well. But pretty much any music that gets your blood pumping at the right time is good. I mean, whether it be Megadeth, Metallica, you know, Slayer, whichever, you know, floats your boat, it's good.
I always found that, you know, games came with themes. Like, you know, for fantasy games, like if you're going to play Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay, that just screams playing the Conan soundtrack. If you're going to play more of a lighthearted fantasy, you know, not so hardcore, dark, you know, more D&D type of fantasy, you could go with a Lady Hawk soundtrack. You know, something a little lighter. Or some Alan Parsons Project. You know, some of their instrumentals works real well, being that they wrote the Lady Hawk soundtrack, basically. But
pretty much
for like Cyberpunk or Shadowrun, anything, you know, that sort of, you know, near future dystopian cyberpunk sort of setting, even the World of Darkness games, you need to play industrial, synth pop, that sort of thing, you know.
Well, not just those. I mean, because metal works.
Sure.
In the same kind of settings. It just depends upon where you're at. I mean, if it makes more sense that if you're in, you know, say you're in Denmark, synth pop is probably going to be perfectly acceptable. Industrial, fine. But if you're in, like, say you're in, you know, the back alleys of New York, and it's just like this hardcore, you know, metal type area, you know, hardcore metal is perfect for it. Death metal, something like that.
Again, though, that falls back on themes, where it fits.
Right.
You know, like, usually I would take cues from the movies based along similar themes. Like, if I wanted to play a cyberpunk game, I'm going to look at the Johnny Mnemonic soundtrack. I'm going to look at the soundtrack for The Crow. I'm going to look at Marilyn Manson, Ministry, Nine Inch Nails, that sort of thing. Yes, you can break in with some metal, but that almost feels like it takes away from the cyberpunk aspects of it.
Why?
It's just a feeling I have. It's just my personal preference as a game master. For the feelings I'm trying to evoke, because when I think metal, I don't think cyberpunk. But when I think industrial, it clearly draws me to a cyberpunk type feeling. Just like if I was playing, oh, classical music, I'm not going to think Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay. Even though there are some very driving, you know, Wagner, you know, there's a lot of classical that really would work in Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay sessions.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't evoke the right feel for me. I want something darker. I want something more driving than most, than you're going to get out of most classical music.
I don't know. There was quite a few pieces out there that were dark and loud and just, I mean, full of gloom, doom, and just, you know.
Sure, absolutely.
Everything you need for it.
But it all comes down to, you know, what the game master really likes, I think. For what they're trying to, the feelings they're trying to evoke in the players.
Hmm.
For example, you know, I'll mention from our gaming group, our friends up in Portland, they, when they do stuff, they'll fall back on a lot of more, what's a good word for it? I don't want to just say Morrissey, but more college rock, more, you know, Depeche Mode-y type music. And that's probably very simplifying it down way too much. But that's the feelings they're trying to evoke when they're running a game. And I would never use that type of music because that's not where I'm coming from mentally. That's not what I'm trying to portray to the players. But for them, from their experience, that works great. And it's just, like I said, it's different game masters have different styles.
Well, that is true. I don't use music for the most part when I'm running.
Yeah.
I found it more of a distraction.
Yeah, when you're running stuff, I haven't used any in a while. But I used to do it a lot. I had a 5-CD stereo that I would just hit the next CD and move it to where I wanted to for different battles.
You do realize that saying that you had a 5-CD stereo is going to make most of the kids listening to this laugh?
Yeah, well, I'm old. Okay?
I know.
You're older than me. I don't want
yes,
to hear
I know.
It. But yes.
But, you know, an iPod with a playlist made up would do that job much better.
And our friends use an iPod. They plop it in there and then they just move to the songs they want it to play.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, I have an iPod. I could do the exact same thing. But for the most part, while music is a helpful tool as a game master, I don't feel it's super necessary anymore.
I prefer just not using music and just trying to control the situation through the tone in my voice. You know, setting up a panicky mood.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least getting it started and letting the players build on it. And music, I think, would just be a detriment to that.
Yeah. Especially if it takes you 20 minutes to, you know, get the discussion going and get, you know, get into the scene. And you've got three songs, basically 15 minutes of music that you wanted to use. And now you got to start repeating.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one place where I would see where music would be greatly helpful in a role-playing session would be in tavern scenes.
Yeah.
If you're going to do a large amount of, let's say, not necessarily a tavern, but the adventure has come to town. The adventurer's rolled into town.
Right.
It's morning, and there is an open-air fair. So you've got various performers and whatnot, you could turn on some light, jaunty, like folk music. I'm not talking, you know, Peter, Paul, and Mary or something like that. Like, you know, some light Celtic music.
Right.
In the background, flutes and whatnot. And just have it playing at a low level where it's in the background so that people can hear it. But it's not distracting. It's not causing people to have to raise their voices to speak over it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's there as an enhancement. You'd put on a couple hours worth of music, just letting it rotate and play randomly in the background. That helps raise the interest. It immediately brings people more into the mindset of what you're trying to create.
Well, and the same could be said for combat music. You know, if your fight's getting started and you get some loud thumping music going, it's going to build more, you know, interest in the fight.
Yeah.
Whether it be, you know, My Life with the Thrill Kill Cult.
Right.
That one group from the Crow soundtrack.
Right.
That is good battle music, especially for a cyberpunk type game.
Oh, absolutely.
Whereas, you know, I'm trying to think of the composer. And it's gone. But anyhow, just heavy metal music is almost always acceptable for combat, especially if it's an instrumental.
Sure. Now, one thing I've seen as a problem, though, as a game master, is this hasn't happened in a long time. I'm talking a good 25 years ago when my wife and I were still living down in Coos Bay, and we had a different gaming group with the Bachelors of the Apocalypse. And I had one problem, and I almost had to stop using music altogether, in that I had one player who would fixate on the music in the background and would constantly ask, "Hey, can we turn this up? I like that song. Can we turn this up?" Then it's too loud, and now people are having to speak up to be heard, and it would just cause distractions. And my neighbors would get mad because, you know, it's an old apartment, and, you know, we're playing in the middle of the night. Can't be loud. So that can be an issue. So well, you have to have it. I guess it only works in certain groups.
Yes. But that can be said for almost everything.
Sure.
It depends upon the situation.
Now, when it comes to role-playing, though, one thing that if people are, you know, looking for music that they could use for their fantasy role-playing and whatnot, I haven't used it personally because, well, like we've said, we're not using music right now as a general rule when we run our games, but MMO soundtracks. You
yeah.
really can't go wrong with World of Warcraft music or Lord of the Rings Online or Rift, or if you're doing science fiction, I've got the soundtrack for Anarchy Online, which is fantastic for these things, for helping evoke those settings and bring them to life.
I don't know. I think I'd have more trouble with that.
Really? You think?
If we're doing, say, we're doing a D&D adventure, and all of a sudden the World of Warcraft music comes on, I know the World of Warcraft music, having played the game for like 10 years.
Yeah.
I'm going to have trouble staying in the D&D mindset with the World of Warcraft music playing, just because they don't mesh.
Yeah,
in my mind.
I can see that would get people talking about their D&D or their World of Warcraft games more than the D&D game.
Right.
Yeah.
It could be distracting. But again, if the people playing are not World of Warcraft fans, then it would be perfectly fine.
That's what I was going to say. It's basically like if I broke out the Lord of the Rings Online music, most of you guys aren't going to know that music. I would, my wife would, maybe a few others would have heard pieces of it. But it would work great for a fantasy game.
Yeah.
But then again, we're not doing a whole lot of music right now.
No. Like I said, more of a distraction right now.
Yeah.
But then again, we're also just getting back into it, so we have to get good at it again.
That's true.
And, before we feel comfortable playing music.
That reminds me, I need to get a hold of our gaming group because we need to start talking about the October game.
Yes, Dresden.
Dresden Files, I will be running that. Yes. We got to come up with a date.
Well,
So.
I shouldn't be on call at all in October.
Oh, that'd
So
be cool.
I'm looking forward.
I was thinking like the 21st, if I remember right, but I think our folks up in Portland had something going on the 21st.
Ah.
I think they were going to something at a game store. So it might have to be the 28th, but I don't know if we can even do the 28th. And I'm out of town on the 14th.
Figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. Anyway, we're digressing.
Of course, we always do.
Yeah, it's what we do. So, do you have any final thoughts regarding music?
I like using it when it's helpful, and I absolutely hate it when it's distracting, but it's a tool. Just use it as you need it, is my advice.
Exactly. I was just going to say, a tool, that's the perfect way to put it. Because if you're, I mean, when you're playing actively in a video game, it's just there to enhance it. And you can take it or leave it however you choose. But when you're in an interactive session, like in a role-playing situation, or even if you're playing like Magic the Gathering or a themed board game, something like that. And you want to keep people in the right mindset for that game. The music can be very important, but you have to keep in mind the levels. You got to keep in mind the people that are around you. And if it's not working, you got to be willing to go, okay, it's not working, and switch it off. Because a lot of people won't respond well to it. They may absolutely hate having music going on in the background. It used to drive my wife nuts having music playing in the background because it was distracting. She much preferred to just sit there and talk. Everybody else were perfectly happy with the music. So, anyway.
Yes.
So, huh, I don't think we can really stretch this out too much longer.
We've already said the same thing like 50 times.
I know, I know. But hey, it's a topic I wanted to talk about, and unfortunately, it's a 15-minute topic, not a 30-minute topic.
Yeah, well.
But hey,
I like listening to like Slayer while playing Plants vs. Zombies. It's just me.
that's odd.
It's fun though, because if you've played the game enough, you pretty much have the timing down, so you don't have to have the sound going, so you can hear when the zombies start, and you don't have to listen for the metallic banging sounds to know when one of the harder versions of the zombies have come out. So you just crank up some loud metal music and go to town, because you already know the time variances that it takes before this one starts showing up or this one starts showing up. And so you can just sit there and just play along. Because you know that tree that you get when you're playing the game? And you can give it plant food to grow it a foot each time.
Okay.
And my tree is over 1,000 feet tall now.
Oh, Jesus.
I play a lot.
I guess. So instead of raining blood, it's raining petunias.
petunias.
It's a plant.
Yes, we're
It's a
talking
joke.
about trees. Pine cones would have been a better reference.
Right. I've been sitting here for 2 minutes waiting to make a joke, and I didn't care about your tree reference, okay?
Yes, but it was a waste of 2 minutes because the joke.
Screw you and your sequoia.
Sequoia.
Anyway. So, till next time, I'm Scormus.
And I'm Beolus.
Generic catchphrase ending. Fuck you, man.
Thanks for listening to the Pixels and Dice podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please check out our other content at gamingstuff.website. We have articles, videos, and lots more to enjoy there. So until next time, generic catchphrase ending.